They're the smartest guys around. They're about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't at all.
Survivor know-it-all.
Welcome back to the Survivor Know-It-Alls, our live recap after the latest Survivor episode. Rob Cesternino here with my fellow know-it-all, Stephen Fishback. Stephen, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. Just reading.
Yeah, Stephen, that is a large book that you have, also a large upside-down book that you have.
It's not upside-down. It's full of information.
Right. No. What are you reading? Anything interesting?
Is that it?
Nothing? Wait, hold on. This may not... Wait, hold on. The Survivor Know-It-Alls have been compromised. That is not, in fact, the real Stephen Fishback.
Hello. Hi, Rob.
Stephen, was that one of the costume people from the Halloween podcast a couple of weeks ago?
What? Yeah.
Was that one of the costume people from the Halloween podcast?
Yeah. No, I've got it. Hey. Oh my God. Oh God, it's horrible. It's everything I was.
Yes.
All right.
There you
Rob,
go.
How are you?
A Courtney Yates sighting on Survivor Know-It-Alls.
People are saying they want Courtney back.
Well, duh. Yes, that's right. Hashtag bring Courtney back. It's turning into a big thing. Stephen, after a Thanksgiving hiatus, welcome back to Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Hello, yes. I was sorry to miss you last week, and I'm really excited to be here. I heard last week was great. Your co-host was beautiful.
It was fantastic. Fantastic. And so good to have you back, Stephen. Lots of Survivor to make up for. Stephen, we missed you last night on the panel on Survivor Jeopardy as well.
I know. I was really impressed by your innovations with Survivor. Now, do you credit me with bringing you back into the Survivor fold? Because I credit me with that.
Did you bring me back to Survivor?
Because you were gone, right? And then with Survivor Samoa, yes, you came back. And I remember inviting you to the Survivor Samoa finale.
That was part of it. Let's go with that. Let's go with Stephen Fishback is the reason why I came back from my self-imposed banishment
from
Survivor.
What I said.
Yes,
that's my storyline. Yeah.
We'll go with that. Anyway, so a lot to get to. If you missed Survivor Jeopardy last night, you can catch it in the archives. Go to SurvivorJeopardy.com. We have that URL. That'll take you to the archive of Survivor Jeopardy. Big show here tonight. Very sad that my favorite player from this season, Mr. Jonathan Penner, he is gone. I did not enjoy this episode because I felt like the writing was on the wall from before the opening credits tonight, when the survivors started with, well, everything here is going to be fine. As long as Abby Maria doesn't win immunity, then this should be an easy vote. And then if not, then we'll vote out Penner. But if that we're
yeah,
not
I know.
To worry
it
about
was,
that.
It was surprising that they telegraphed it so much from the very beginning. There was like basically no question over who was going home, right? I mean, there was like sort of a... They like threw it in there, like maybe Scoopin would vote out Denise, but you know that was never going to happen.
Yeah, no, and I never for one second felt like anybody else was in danger. Like I guess Denise was the other person that it could have been, but I just did not feel like Denise was having a could be voted out episode. She was hardly seen at all the whole night, and there was a lot of Penner throughout the whole episode. I just had a horrible feeling in the pit of my stomach that this was going to be Penner's night, and unfortunately, it is.
Now, do you feel that Lisa is as annoying as I feel that she is?
Well, tell me why you think she's annoying, and then
she
I'll
just,
tell
like,
you if
shut
I agree with that.
Up, Lisa. I'm just so sick of her. Like, she's constantly whining and wringing her hands and complaining about everything. She was complaining to Jonathan Penner about having to vote off Jonathan Penner. I mean, like, can you have a more, like, self-involved, you know, act in the game of Survivor?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, she has been pretty wishy-washy over the course of this season, and every decision has been like Hamlet, that she's really like, oh, I don't know, what do I do? Even like the people in her original tribe who were horrible to her, she really could not pull the trigger. It took weeks for her to pull the trigger on walking away from this bad situation. And then she had a real question tonight over whether to vote out Penner or vote out Denise. So the question that the true fans are here to see us answer tonight, Stephen, did Mike Scoopin and Lisa make the right decision by deciding to vote out Penner instead of Denise tonight?
No, absolutely not. So I think that this is sort of a lose-lose for them, right? Like, who are Scoopin and Lisa going to win against, realistically? If they go against Penner, they're going to lose. If they go against Malcolm, they're going to lose. If they go against Denise, they're going to lose. So to a certain degree, I think they made the right choice in that if they go with the wrong choice, I'm sorry, because they're less likely to win immunity at the final four against Malcolm and Denise than they are against Carter and Penner. Because both Malcolm and Denise are competitors, and Penner's not really an immunity competitor. I think they made the wrong decision. I think going with Penner and Carter to the end is the way to go. Carter's not really a jury threat. Penner is, but they could vote him out at four. You know, I think they made the wrong call.
Yeah, if you shake up the game board and see what it looks like, I had a prop for tonight. I don't know if it's going to work. Let me know if it works or not. I was going to go to the touch screen here, but I think I think I have to wait until I get my 27-inch iMac to be able to do this effectively. I was going to show you how the board was going to look, but I don't think you're going to, unless you go full screen on this, I don't think you're going to be able
small.
To.
It's kind of
okay,
blurry.
Anyways,
too.
But let's just explain it. So if you take Malcolm out of the mix here, and then you go to the final six here with Scoopin, Lisa, Penner, Carter, Denise, and Abby Maria.
Right.
That is a much more fertile. What do we want to say? A lot of
promising.
A lot of good room in front of them. It's a better situation for Lisa and for Mike for a number of reasons. Because you have the possibility of what do we have? Visual jokes, not.
It didn't translate. A new Alex Forstenhausler got a new wine, a new bartender here.
Oh, whoa. That's, yeah. It is a party now.
Yeah.
All right, but let's stay on task here.
Oh, I'm with you, Rob.
All right, so if we lose Malcolm here, yeah, the game board, I think, is much better. Greener pastures are ahead, I think, for Lisa and Scoopin, just because I love the final three for Scoopin if you have another returning player in the mix.
And I totally agree. Penner is their ideal candidate. The only problem with Penner is that everyone thinks Penner has been the mastermind. You know, you read everyone's interviews, you read artists' interviews, you read, you know, Pete's interviews, and everyone says as soon as they're voted off, like, Penner was the guy who sent me here. I think Penner is, if Penner gets to the end, I think Penner is winning. And obviously, so I mean, you know, clearly Scoopin and Lisa think that too. I mean, that's probably true of Malcolm or Denise, though, right? So, like, the question is, like, who can we go to the end with that we can beat? And I think, I mean, I hear what you're saying about returning player. I think Carter is the guy. I think they want to be in the final three with Carter.
Well, how do they pull that off then? If now they're in the final six, Abby Maria and Carter are both just, like, the people that are left for dead, where you have this final four. Seems like an easy vote next week. Get rid of one of the two of them, whoever wins immunity. Get rid of the other one. Seems like we could be set up here for a maybe not the biggest and the most exciting episode at the final six here. Seems like a pretty obvious vote. But where do they go from here? Who do you remove next if you're that foursome?
Interesting. From here, like Malcolm or Denise, right? Like from here, Denise, presumably. Like whichever of them, you know, those two have to be the jury threats. Abby is obviously a great goat to take to the end. That's who she's been all along. Carter, too, is like he hasn't done very much. And you hear from the way that people are describing him that even though he's won a lot of immunities, he's just not there to play the game. So I think that, you know, right now, if Lisa and Scoopin were smart, which they're not, they would pivot. But what do you think, Rob?
Well, I think that are we talking about for next week or for this week?
Yeah, for next week.
For next week, I think it's going to be interesting because if you're in a four-person alliance, you have to start thinking, and this is a little bit of a prisoner's dilemma here, I have to screw the other two people in my four-person alliance before they screw me. Right. So I think there's going to be a lot of going back and forth over which is the person that would be more likely to align with us at Final Five to take out somebody on the other side in the Final Four. So I would guess that Carter is closer with Malcolm and Denise. I think that they have Carter with them. Perhaps Abby Maria is tighter with Scoopin' and Lisa, although we saw Abby Maria with Malcolm in this episode. So it's conceivable to think that Abby Maria could be get brought over to Malcolm and Denise at the Final Five to take out Lisa and Scoopin'.
I would think, though, I mean, you saw Abby, like, trying to make a play, but ultimately I think Abby's pissed at Malcolm, right? Like, she voted out... who did she vote for? She voted for Denise this turn, right. So, I mean, yes. I think she's angry at that alliance. I think she feels probably more betrayed by them than she does by Scoopin and Lisa, ultimately. I mean, who knows? But, like, it's less a question
who
of,
knows?
You know, we can't really predict, I think, what Abby Maria is going to do from, like, one moment to the next.
Yeah. Matt Brewer wants to know, what pair do you think will be broken next? Scoopin and Lisa or Malcolm and Denise? Who is going to get further in the game? Which pair are you going to put your money on, Steven?
I would put my pair on Malcolm and Denise. You know, my money on Malcolm and Denise. It seems like those two are working together the best. And I wish we saw more of that. You know, we see so much of Scoopin and Lisa sort of like feeling each other out. But like the Malcolm-Denise alliance is the way. Yeah, the Manise, as Jessica Frey is hashtagging. The Manise alliance is the strongest pair in the game. And it has been since the very first episode. What about you, Rob?
Steven, I agree with you. What I want to know is, Steven, do you think that the players in the game think of Lisa as a beatable jury opponent?
We heard early on, right, like in the early merge, that people thought that she was, like, nice, and therefore she would win jury votes. But at this point, it doesn't seem like anyone respects her, and that people are kind of getting fed up with her. Even Penner was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, shut up. And,
Are you honestly coming to me and telling me that you're going to vote me out and I'm supposed to feel bad for you in this scenario? Are you crazy? I loved Penner's goodbye tonight. That was really one of the most epic goodbyes, from when he votes at the tribal council and just yells out, Denise!
Yeah.
That was great.
I loved his final words. I've had a lot of fun and a lot of pain, or whatever he said. I've had a lot of fun and a lot of suffering. You know, I thought that was like just the perfect summation of Survivor.
Is there a better way to sum up everybody's Survivor experiences of it's been a lot of fun and it's been a lot of pain?
Yeah.
That's basically Survivor in a nutshell.
That's it. I thought like the whistle, I thought there was a little bit of hamminess actually at the end, which I know that you're less bothered by than
I mean,
am.
You think?
But, like, yeah. Just with the whistling and like the waving and like just move along. You know, your story is over now. Well, time to let other people have their moment.
No, he didn't. He's a storyteller, Steven.
Yeah.
He didn't finish the story. So what was that quote on the walkout? What did he say? He said, make sure you stay sunny side up and suck an egg. Is that what he said?
Keep your sunny sides up and suck eggs, something like that. Yeah, I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah. Have we gotten a good listen to what song was he whistling? Was there a code to that?
I don't remember. I didn't pay attention to that. I was more outraged. Just move along. Stop with this. You know, like, what's he gonna like run back? You know, run back and be like, I'll see you soon. You know, like, he's gonna like just keep hamming it up.
Yeah, has anybody ever done the standing ovation or the encore and then like walked away and then come back?
That's the move. We should encourage people. Rob, if you're ever on Survivor again, that should be what you know, when you're voted out, God forbid, but if it happens, you know, that's God what you forbid. Should do. Yeah.
Or inevitably. So you say you walk through the door and then come back and say, oh, I forgot something. Can I just come back in and grab that
walk
thing?
Walk across tribal council, say, excuse me to Jeff, and then like pick up
someone's
corpse.
I forgot my bag. I can stay, right? Oh, I still have to leave?
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. All right. So that's good. Yeah, I think that is going to be a questionable decision. If Lisa or Mike Scoopin don't win the game, I think this is going to be the episode we're going to look back and say, what if you would have kept Penner around and didn't vote him out and voted out Denise at that point? What would the game have been if you would have done that? I kind of feel like we're going to come back to this episode in about 2.5 weeks.
Who Scoopin or Lisa, which of them do you think is more likely to get jury votes at this point?
Well, nobody, in talking to the people who've come out of the game, nobody, and mostly the people that I've talked to in doing my exit interviews from the jury, I've talked to RC, who is pro Scoopin', for the record. Jeff Kent did not like Scoopin'.
Right.
Artis did not like Scoopin'.
Yeah.
And Pete was not a fan. So far. So the last three people to go out of the game all had bad things to say about Scoopin', and especially in the case of Jeff Kent, did not have good things to say about Lisa.
What? Not have good things to say about Lisa?
Yeah.
So, but you think that Lisa would get more votes than Scoopin', is what you're saying?
I think so. I think that she has the thing going for her that she's not a returning player, whereas Scoopin' is a returning player, and people could say, you know, the other people are, who, whether it's a final two or final three, you could always say, and hey, I'm just like you guys. I haven't played this game before. This is my first time.
Yeah, but any argument works.
I came here, I played hard. I didn't have all the advantages that he had. He was, you know, he's done this before. This was my first time. We got to the same point. I think I did a better job, and it was still only my first try at this. And I think that the jury, and we'll talk to Ian Terry later on. I know he's the master of this, of, hey, it's my first time. Give me the money instead of a guy who's already done this before, let alone a guy who's won before.
But you could say that I was a target.
We'll get his take,
you know,
on that.
From the very beginning, you know, people wanted me out as the returning player from the get-go, and I managed to persist. I mean, you know, you can sort of turn anything into a negative or a positive in the jury stages. I've learned you can turn even your most positive attributes into real negatives in the jury phase of the game. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Dawn's Bread says, if Scoopin' or Lisa made it to the end, is there any way they can win Penner's vote, or did both of them just lose it tonight? Well, Penner's got to vote for somebody.
That's the thing. And I think that's what something, you know, people have to vote for someone, and like, they're not, you know, they're not going to want to vote for anyone. And I think Jeff Kent said it really well in his Ponderosa interviews. Like, I don't care who wins, you know, because it's not me. And I think a lot of people feel that way. I mean, I personally don't know. Maybe you can speak to this better, Rob.
Well, as a former jury member?
Yeah.
So, Steven, how about Abby Maria tonight? We saw a whole different side of Abby Maria. Were you impressed with Abby Maria tonight and her gameplay, or did you think it was very transparent?
I thought it was such a comical, like, it was like in Heroes versus Villains with Amanda and the Amanda bat, you know? It was like where she was trying to like drop a hint, but she was doing it in like the least subtle way possible. I mean, you know, Abby, I think I'm probably going to give the fishy to, just because, you know, who else, you know, she did some good things, but like the hinting with the immunity idol was so like comically over the top that it was just ridiculous.
Yeah. This letter actually says two things, and I'm only going to read the first thing. It says two though, and then she's like, okay, and then we're gonna rip up the clue so nobody could ever see what it says on the first part of the clue.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it was
you knew Jeff. Yeah, Steven, I gotta say, as a Survivor insider, a guy who knows the game backwards and forwards, did you think there was anything odd to when Abby Maria was talking in her confessional about using Jeff as a tool and that what Jeff can do or can't do? Doesn't that seem like a discussion somebody might have said to her about 3 seconds before the camera started rolling?
Wait, what? Remind me of this.
She said, okay, well, I can say whatever I want, but Jeff can't be a part of my story, so I can use Jeff as a tool, and I can use him. And if you go back to my podcast with Jeff Probst, he used that exact same wording to describe himself in the game. So I don't know if she might have said to one of the producers before she went to, like, can I do this? Am I allowed to do this? And then they consulted with Jeff, and that was the answer that he gave back.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I thought that it was very similar. Yes.
That's really funny.
How Jeff described his role in the game and how Abby Maria described what Jeff is allowed to do in the game.
Well, maybe Jeff had never thought of it, and then Abby said it, and he was like, you know what? That's a really thoughtful way of putting it.
Oh, so it's backwards.
Yeah.
This is like, wow, this is like Pulp Fiction now. Michael Norris, why didn't Penner just tell Mike that they would vote Carter out in fourth place? There's no way Mike could have turned down a final three with Penner and Abby. Any thoughts on that, Steven?
I mean, I think that, you know, I don't think Mike and Lisa are like that tactical. You know, Lisa was sticking with her group. It looked like Mike wanted to stick with Lisa. And I think probably Carter is, you know, less of a threat than Penner is to them. They have to recognize that. You know, Penner's been a target every episode. And people have this idea that people who are good with words are going to perform well in front of a jury. And that is not always the case.
Wait, how do you know that?
Yeah. But still, like, you know, I think Penner is probably a perceived jury threat as much as or even more than he's an actual jury threat. So I think they're more concerned with Penner than they are even with Carter, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to speak with Jonathan Penner tomorrow morning. I will have an exit interview with him. And the first question I'm going to ask Jonathan Penner is, when you said no to the Alliance to get to the final six, what was your plan? Why did it take? And he basically admitted that mistake of that. It probably took me 1, 2, 3 days to decide that I wanted to do that. But that wasn't what he said at the time. It wasn't like, I need to go sleep on that. Let me get back to you tomorrow. He did not say that. He said, I just want to play it out. Oh, that's nice, you guys. Let's get down to the final six. That'll be fine. And that was not – he's kind of changed – whistled a different tune tonight, Steven.
Well, and that's why it's always hard. It must be hard for you to try to, like, suss out what people were actually thinking. You know, I'm sure now, whatever, like, you know, 3 years later, since when they filmed, he's probably come up with a lot of justifications for why he did that move.
Revisionist history?
I think maybe some people might, you know, say different things than what actually happened.
Yeah. Nick Nasty says, Rob, please do your Penner impression when you interview Penner on Thursday. It's the kind of thing when you do impressions of people. It's kind of like, unless they ask for it, it's kind of like, hey, okay, let me do you, okay? You know, it's kind of like a...
I really love
if
when
they
you
don't
did your...
want it. It's kind of an obnoxious thing to volunteer because you really set yourself up for them to say, yeah, that sounds nothing like me.
I love when you started your Boston Rob podcast with the Boston Rob impression. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, Boston Rob did not seem amused, but it was gracious of him to even let me attempt that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's you know, somebody should write a book on impression etiquette And also, you know, what are you supposed to say? And you can't, you have to say, you can't say something insulting in the voice. It's tough. Katie Baguette wants to know, couldn't the survivors have pooled their money to take the advantage away from Abby and Maria?
No.
Steven, Katie, auction strategy.
Were you not watching the episode, Katie? Jeff Probst was very explicit that you can neither share food nor pool money. Katie, go back and watch again.
Yeah, did Carter get screwed in the auction, or Carter had a net positive auction?
No, Carter got screwed. It was outrageous. I was most outraged that Lisa, this horrible human being who we're supposed to like but is actually atrocious, was as soon as Carter had gotten, you know, sacrificed his reward for beans and rice, she bid against him. Give the guy a break. Give him the freaking sandwiches.
She moved right in. I also thought it was funny.
When
everybody was bidding, everyone was bidding on the stuff, and Carter got the rice and beans, and then Carter got whatever else for the tribe. Like Penner, like, has his mouth full of fried chicken. And he's just like, Carter rules, yeah, Carter rules, Carter, yeah, he's the greatest guy.
Like, thanks, thank you. Yeah,
hey, Carter, keep up the good work, buddy.
That's great. I mean, I'm sure Carter was delighted to have that, like, lackluster cheering for him.
Yeah. Keep going. So, Abby Maria, how about this, Steven? Let me put my tinfoil hat on again. Do you think Abby Maria, on her own, figured out that the Survivor auction was coming and that she should save her money because there could be something to help her in the immunity challenge?
Rob, you're such a conspiracy theorist today. You're really playing back the veil.
I throw things out there.
Abby Maria, my understanding was, is a huge fan of the show, watched from the beginning, has applied every season, and knows the game backwards and forwards.
Is that true? Are you being facetious?
Yeah, I'm being facetious.
I mean, if Colton or somebody who knows the game, or Cochran, did something like that, I wouldn't bat an eye. But I kind of forgot that sometimes in the auction they give you a clue to do better. I mean, in fairness, it did happen last season in Survivor. Although they were gone during Survivor One World, so I guess when was the last time they did that before this?
Samoa, I think it definitely did it in Samoa. I don't know when the last one was. Nicaragua, maybe? I don't know. I'm sure you have.
Anyway, it was a very savvy move by Abby Maria. So yeah. I have to give her credit, but very savvy Survivor play there, especially for somebody who we've seen to be a very selfish player in the past, and you would think would not bat an eye at bidding for food in the auction.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, Rob. Yeah. I thought that it was surprising, but you know, it's also conceivable that she really was saving her money, didn't really care about the food, and then something came up and was like, screw it, I'm going all in.
Yeah, she did eat quite a bit at the last week's episode. One last thing about the auction, Steven, before we move on. What do you think of Mike Scoopin's strategy at the auction?
It seemed like he was so impressed with Denise's spending $500 that he wanted to be a part of that as well, and then spent $500 for a cheese plate with wine he couldn't even drink. Yeah, so copycat. Nick Fishman is correct. Copycat.
Yes. Steven, were you and Courtney excited to see a shout out to the Wine and Cheese Alliance by Mike Scoopin? Was that him?
Is that
tipping
what that
his
was?
Cap?
That's what that was. That was a shout out to the Wine and Cheese Alliance. That's fine. Yeah.
That's us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine. He's in.
Yeah. So, Steven, how much more time do you have?
Let's go five more minutes, and then I gotta go.
All right, 5 more minutes. So let me wrap up with you, and then I'll take some video calls after you run.
All right.
Let's take some text questions with Steven, and then wrap up Steven for the night. Stites Nightington, did you agree with Malcolm not playing the idol? Well, this week, I mean, I don't know why he would play the idol.
Well, he could give it to Denise to make sure that they don't vote Denise out, right? Like, that would be the idea, like, keep their hegemony. I actually thought that this is a pretty good inflection point for him to play the idol at, Rob. This is 7, and this is when those numbers really start to count. And if they don't vote out Denise now, they don't really have an opportunity to next week. Never mind. Yeah, no. Yeah, I agree with him not playing the idol.
Now, Stephen, we didn't get to talk after the episode last week, but I was saying that if I was Malcolm, I would have played the idol last week or even the week before. I mean, what has to happen before Malcolm plays this idol?
I'm guessing that Malcolm has like a better like sense of the actual social dynamics than we, you know, than is being seen. I think Malcolm is pretty sure where the votes are coming down, except maybe in that one episode where he you know threatened to play it. So I think Malcolm knows what's up.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get some more questions before Steven has to run. He's hosting a big party at his house tonight. KT Reg says, I loved how Penner basically yelled Denise's name when he was writing her name down. Great use of the small tribal council space. Wish we saw that more. I mean, there was no strategic advantage, right? I mean
there's almost
what
a strategic disadvantage, right? Like, there's a marginal strategic disadvantage to doing that because, you know, if they were, in fact, voting out Denise, you wouldn't want Malcolm giving the idol to Denise and, like, letting her know. Then it's funny. It's funny. And, like, obviously Penner is, you know, a big character as much as he is a big player. And I thought that was, you know, good.
Here's a question from Colin Rose. What'd you think of Abby's fake idol play? We talked about her at the immunity challenge. Did anybody believe that?
I'm assuming that everyone knows that Abby does not have the idol, right? Like, maybe next week it pops up. We'll see, I guess. But, you know, maybe they decide to vote out someone else. I mean, if you are... What's the move? I guess that's what we were talking about earlier, Rob. What's the move if you're Lisa and Scoopin next week? What's the move?
If you're Lisa and Scoopin next week, I mean, I think what you want to do is just get rid of either Abby Maria or Carter. If I'm Lisa and Scoopin, I get rid of Carter because I think he's tighter with Malcolm and Denise. I'd say, like, oh, we got to get rid of Carter because he's an immunity threat and he could win immunities.
Right.
But really, I'm voting him out because he's tighter with Malcolm and Denise. Then I get down to 5. Then I grab Abby Maria and then I vote out Malcolm and then I vote out Denise and I go to the final 3 with me, Lisa, and Abby Maria.
That's ideal. I think that's a great game plan for them going forward. Is there any chance they do that? Absolutely not. Lisa is not going to turn on her alliance. No, I think that's the right move, and there's no way it will happen.
There is no way that will happen. One more question for Steven before he's got to go.
How much trouble
the ninja.
Is this? We can do better than this. Come on, Ninja. How much trouble is Malcolm in next week? No trouble.
None.
All right.
None.
All right.
No trouble at all.
That was good. It was good.
All right.
I apologize for my quick in and out, performance. But good luck with the et cetera.
Yes, I've used that line many a times myself, Stephen. So thank you for joining us, and say hi to Courtney and Alex Forstenhausler, and have a good time. All right, buddy.
All right. See you soon.
All right. Take care. All right. That is going to do it for the Stephen Fishback portion of this evening's show, but don't go anywhere. We're going to do a little more Survivor know-it-alls here as we go along. And we'll let's check in with Ian Terry and see what he has to say. And let me take this quick moment to tell you about a very exciting news this week. As you may have seen on Twitter, Jenna Maraska and I have been hard at work on the 10-year commemorative edition of Survivor the Amazon commentary. You can check that out on Rob Has a Website and listen to the first episode of commentary on Survivor 6 on robhasawebsite.com or go to Survivor6commentary.com. You can listen to the first
all one word.
Listen to the whole first episode for free on Rob Has a Website and check that out. Available for pre-order now. So here we go, Ian. How are you doing tonight?
Doing well. How are you?
Are you tired? Is that a yawn, or you're exasperated from all this strategy?
Yeah, I'm yawn, exasperated from the strategy.
Yes.
Mix of both tonight.
Yes.
Really hard to see Pinner go like that, but that's what happens when the Plan A boot gets immunity. That happened to Chef Joe.
Yeah.
In my year, so.
Yeah, very sad. I was disappointed to see Penner go. Ian, you're a bit of a Survivor historian. Where do you put Penner overall in his three-time stint through Survivor?
I mean, his best finish is 7th. I think he's a top 25 player, but maybe not higher than that. I'd say personally, he's one of the most entertaining. I'd say top 20.
Top 20 strategists. What about as an overall equity?
How
about as a guy to watch every week? If you were going to draft the ideal Survivor season, top five. Wow.
Top five.
High praise for Jonathan Penner. So what do you think? Do you think that Mike Scoopin has a shot to win this game if he's on the jury? This is what I want to ask you about. As a person who beat a returning player in a jury, does he can win?
I think he can. I really don't think, and I believe that my final speech, I never actually used Dan was here before, he won before, as an argument as to why I should win in my speech. Whether they voted on that is another story. That should never be an argument. That should never come into play. Even the excuse I used, the coach had an immunity the first 3 weeks, was not even valid in my mind. I just thought people on the jury might bite into it. But I think Scoopin might have a slim chance.
A slim chance. Slim. And so, did you like the decision?
No, I did not. I think that the obvious play would have been to get rid of Denise, as was said earlier in the podcast.
Now, why wasn't the play to vote out Malcolm? I mean, if you're going to blindside Malcolm, why not blindside Malcolm?
That's what I don't get, because he has the idol and he's now not in any trouble next week. So they need to take a run at one of the two.
Yeah. I mean,
Denise
why,
him.
I mean, isn't it a great selling point to vote out Malcolm to say, hey, and he's got an idol. He's the biggest immunity threat here. And he has an idol. Let's blindside Malcolm.
He's an endgame threat. Yeah, they needed to go after one of those two. As Penner said, if you don't vote her out, you're giving one of those two $1 million, which is what they needed to do.
So what was the reason why that Scoopin and Denise made that decision? That Scoopin said on the way to tribal council, he said, I think that I have a better chance to beat Penner in the final three. And so he said that. Lisa said that. Then what is this decision based on? That they did like a pinky swear with Malcolm and Denise?
I guess honoring their commitments, maybe. I have no idea. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, well, honor and loyalty.
The obvious play.
Yeah. They're good Boy Scout badges, but they will not earn you $1 million on Survivor.
They can sometimes, but not in the position that Mike Scoopin is in right now.
Not in the position they're in. All right. So, Jessica, let's take a few more questions about tonight's episode while we have Ian with us, who I will say is a very polarizing figure in the Survivor know-it-alls community. Ian, I get emails saying we want more Ian Terry, and I get emails no Ian Terry from people who are not fans of the Big Brother. So maybe it's more Big Brother is polarizing than you're a polarizing figure.
I feel like that. Let's see, what's this? Colin Rose, big shout out to Colin, says, does Denise have the game in the bag right now? It seems like she's in. I mean, right now I think Denise is the one to beat.
Yeah, Denise is the one
I
to
really
beat.
Do.
And Denise was my pick to win the game early on, Ian. I'm feeling good about my pick here.
Yes.
I haven't been feeling this good.
My pick to win has been long sent packing. But,
Ian,
I feel like Denise has the best shot.
I haven't been feeling this good about one of my picks since Dan was in the final five.
So wait a minute. Now, how was Dan your pick to win? If he was
I changed it. I hit the reset button on my pick. And
okay.
I switched
okay.
to Dan.
Okay.
Rod, all right. Rod Jeremy wants to know, could Abby's advantage have been any more advantageous? No weight, no fatigue, only
now,
untying knots?
I mean, it seemed to me that buying the advantage was more or less a guaranteed immunity unless your hands were so large that you could never possibly untie ropes. They may as well have made it a Portuguese-speaking contest for her.
Whoa. That would have been exciting also. So I don't have a problem. You know, I like Abby Maria on the show. I hate to see Penner go. I don't know why it couldn't have been Carter tonight. That could have been that would have been fine by me, Ian. Wes wants to know how much bitterness
do you see
coming from the players and the jury?
I have a feeling that Jeff Kent's bitterness will fumigate the Ponderosa. So something tells me that Jeff Kent is going to be a very, very bitter juror.
Bitter jury face.
Yes, I see. I feel there's going to be a bitter jury.
Okay,
I mean, but, you know, yes.
One last question for you. Yes. People have said RC is on pace to be the greatest juror of all time, taking over the title.
She does have amusing reactions to on the scale of Eliza Orleans. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So do you think that RC could potentially overtake Eliza and become the greatest jury member of all time?
She's got to do a little bit more with the reaction faces.
Tonight, let me down a little bit.
Okay. More reaction faces.
All right. Well, good stuff, Ian Terry, as usual. Hope you do have a good week. We'll talk to you next week. Ian, are you ready for Big Brother Jeopardy?
Yes, I'm very ready for that. When are we doing that? In June?
June. That'll be a good warm up for Big Brother season coming up. Who else should be in Big Brother Jeopardy?
Matt Hoffman. And,
yes. We need a girl.
I think we need a girl. Girl super fan. Jody was a really big fan. I mean, Adam. Yeah, well, yeah, but Adam's not female.
No. Yeah, Adam's not a girl. What about Rachel Riley?
Janelle.
Oh, Janelle.
I don't know if she was a really big fan of it, though. Janelle does watch the show quite ardently, but some of the stuff that she would make historical reference to in the house didn't make sense. Like when she said to us, I should never have gone to the end with guys both times I played. And I was like, your final five was composed of Howie and four women. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, June would be a really good person.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we have plenty of time to work on that, Ian. So start studying, okay? All right. Take care.
Yes, absolutely. Yep, see you.
All right. Bye. All right, everybody. That was Ian Terry. There you go. So Survivor Jeopardy 2 is in the very early planning stages. We got to see Colton come back as our returning champion. And we need to see who could step up to the plate. I've talked to a couple of survivors today who said that they would play Survivor Jeopardy, but they said, oh, I can't beat Colton. So I need a survivor to step up to the plate and let me know, can you beat Colton? That's what we need to find out right now. So who is the survivor who could step up to the plate and beat Colton? SurvivorJeopardy.com. Ian says he could beat Colton. Oh, that might be interesting to bring in a ringer. We'll have to see. I have to see if we get anybody to step up to the plate and see if they could beat Colton. All right. Here we go. Let's take some rapid fire questions as we come here to the end. Do we want to do one more video call, Jessica? What do we want to do? Let's see. We still got a bunch of people watching. We'll keep. All right. Let's do a video call. Here we go. We got Nick Fishman. We'll do a quick video call, then take some of your rapid fire questions as we come up here. Only 2.5 weeks left on Survivor. Only 2 new episodes. And then we get to the finale. It's almost the end of the season. I feel like the season just started and it's already going to be over. Finale weekend coverage. We will be covering. We'll cover the finale. I'm not sure exactly which way we're going to do it, but I'm sure we will be doing something. We'll have interviews with everybody in the finals. It's going to be a lot of fun. Rob is a bastard wants to know, was Abby's over attempting making it like she had the idol only make it more obvious that she didn't have the idol? Let's see. I'm trying to think, what is the right move when you have the idol? Yeah, I guess that's sort of like when you have the idol, you act like you don't have the idol. And when you don't have the idol, you act like you have the idol. Somebody did good. Who was it? Russell Hance that he went and like put something in his pocket. And then people were like, oh, I see that he got like something in his pocket and his shorts are hanging off too much to one side. So that's sort of like the good move where you don't say anything about it. I think that's pretty good. Oh, Rupert did that. That's a good move. Rupert retweeted me tonight. Gotta love the Roop. Andy Baker says, did you notice the scooping hero shot on the walk to tribal? Long lingering shot of are we doing a little analyzing the editing? Could Mike Scoopin have the winner's shot? I will say Mike Scoopin has not been getting the winner's edit. He may have gotten a winner's shot, but I would not say that Mike Scoopin has gotten a winner edit to be sure so far. All right, Jessica, ready with that video call? Here we go. Nick Fishman on the line.
Hi.
Nick, how are you?
Hearing?
Yes. Are you in a dormitory?
I have a question this time.
Okay, go for it. What?
All right, previously, I remember you saying something about who was the episode more about in the past week. Who do you think was this episode's focus? Because I don't know. I personally couldn't tell.
Yeah, oh, cool. Well, I would say that the episode's focus was mostly on Abby Maria. And then the second most focus, I would say, was Penner. How about that?
Well, for Abby, whenever she was talking strategy, it was when she was by herself or when someone else was leading the discussion. So I thought it wasn't – she wanted it to be about her, but I didn't think it was.
Yeah. What is up with that?
I don't know. Like, I think it was almost more about Lisa, how she really isn't in control of her emotions.
Yeah. The Lisa story is definitely a confusing one. And her journey as a, you know, her journey into redemption. And what I want to know is what the hell happened to Lisa that she can't even talk about it at Tribal Council? What could be so secret? Was it something that happened on the set of Facts of Life?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
Maybe her divorce, or maybe this was before her divorce happened. So she was going through whatever.
Maybe we'll see. All right, and Nick Fishman, next week you be the Stephen Fishback impersoner and not Courtney Yates.
Sounds good.
All right, sounds good. All right, take care, Nick. Thanks for the call. All right, here we go. All right, so let's take a couple other questions and then we'll wrap this up. Big day tomorrow on Rob Evans' podcast. Let me tell you tomorrow a little bit about our day tomorrow. We're gonna start off. How about a little exit interview with Jonathan Penner? See what he has to say about everything. Very much looking forward to catching up with Penner. His third appearance on Rob Has a Podcast. Only the second time in history somebody, the third time in history somebody does an exit interview after, and it's not their first appearance on the show. So we will talk with Penner tomorrow. And then, how about this for a podcast? We are going to talk to the one and only original winner of Survivor, Richard Hatch. We will be podcasting with Hatchcast tomorrow. I'll talk to him. I believe that this is going to be Hatchcast 3 tomorrow. So we'll catch up with Rich, see what he has to say. And speaking of Richard Hatch, I was chatting with Adas this morning, and we're trying to talk about some new ideas about these tundra hats. And we started a new contest on Robin's website because a lot of people are asking me about how can I win a tundra hat. So every week until the end of the year, we're going to be doing a tundra cap Shin contest on robhasawebsite.com. So we're going to give away one tundra hat a week. You'll have the tundra hat of your choosing if you can come up with the best or funniest caption for one of the pictures of the survivors wearing a tundra hat. And this week we are kicking it off with, of course, the one and only Richard Hatch. So you can go to robhasawebsite.com/tundracaption or just go to the front page of Rob Has a Website. It's one of the stories on the front page. Caption the picture of Richard Hatch. And I will remind you, NSFW, okay? The picture of Richard Hatch, as you might expect, NSFW Richard Hatch photo for the Tundra Caption Contest. Okay? Tundra Caption Contest. So there you go. And of course, Tundra Cap makes a great holiday gift. Go to robhasatundrahat.com and use the coupon code robhasacoupon to save 25% on the Tundra hat of your choosing. It makes a great holiday gift for anybody who's they've got all the NFL teams. They got a bunch of college football teams. Great gift for any guy or girl, whether they live in cold weather or they're just a poser. Go to robhasatundrahat.com. All right, here we go. How about this? Let's go ahead. Let's do three more questions, then we'll wrap this baby up. Okay, here we go. Fire away, Jessica Frey. Rapid fire. Brian Lynch, and I have to give credit to Brian Lynch. Everybody knows Brian Lynch, our Big Brother recapper. He went ahead and he not only watched, he had never seen Survivor the Amazon before. He went through and not only watched the entire season of Survivor the Amazon in one night, he live tweeted it also. So kudos to Brian Lynch. He's ready for the Survivor the Amazon commentary. He watched the first episode, he had the commentary, and he kept going. It was like Forrest Gump. It was like, stop, Brian, stop. He couldn't stop. He stayed up all night live tweeting Survivor the Amazon. And so now he wants to know, what is the fascination with getting fed during the auction? How does anyone ever spend any money when there's even a remote possibility of gaining an advantage? Well, now, hindsight 2020, the Penner maybe should have outbid Abby Maria. So it's a good question. The auction now has sort of become like the coconut shop, where if you're it sort of like reveals where you are in the tribe. So for Penner, he probably needed to realize that he was on the outs. And if for some reason Abby Maria was going to win immunity, that he was probably going to be the next to go. I don't know who he thought was going to be the next to go, but he really needed to figure it out. That was part of the problem tonight, not realizing where he stood in the tribe. And then it's not only a situation where, okay, as long as Abby Maria doesn't win immunity, but for her to buy an advantage and then get so far, I don't care how good that fried chicken is going to be or what world it's going to put you into. You gotta, if Brian Lynch is right, unless you are just the top dog and you know you're the top dog and everything is gravy, then you can bid on something with gravy. But if you're not, you gotta get that individual immunity clue. Michael O'Keefe wants to know, has Lisa turned into Brandon Hance? Every decision she has made results in an emotional breakdown. Well, again, is Lisa an emotional person? Is this her greatest acting work yet? We don't know. But Lisa is really ratcheting it up at Tribal Council. So I don't know. Is Jeff Probst that good at Tribal Council? Is Lisa turning it on at Tribal Council even more? Is it just, are both things happening at once? I don't know. But Lisa has not gone into Brandon Hance mode of, you know, F you at Tribal Council. She has not gone that far. Colin wants to know, if Abby gets to the finals, could she win? I have a feeling she would have artist Pete, and she could possibly sway a vote or two. However, yes, she might have a vote or two. She could have Pete. She could have artists. But especially if it's a final two, we're talking 9 votes. It will take 5 votes to win the final Tribal Council. So Abby Maria is dead in the water here with only 6 people left in the game. One last question, and then we're going to wrap it up. All right, one last question. Make it a good one, Jessica. One last question. No pressure. No pressure. Looking for a good question. By saying no pressure, now there's pressure. That's it. Okay? So I'm excited for a big day tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to sleep between Penner and Hatch in one day on Rob as a podcast. Maybe Jessica Frey is locked up. Let me see. Let me look at the questions. Let me see. Oh, here we go. Jorge Alvarado wants to know, what do you think of Penner turning down Abby Maria for a hug? Okay. Penner said, you know, that's I'm not going to hug anybody else on the way out. That's fine. I'm no more hugs. I hugged Carter, and that was it. I don't know. Seemed a little, it was sort of like a Big Brother move, you know. We should have asked Ian when he was on. Of, you know, you rarely see in Survivor where somebody gets voted out and hugs everybody in the tribe. It's not like on Big Brother, okay, and by a vote of 4-3, Penner, you've been evicted from the tribal council. And he's like, okay, all right, come in, everybody, give me a hug. Like, okay, everybody, give me a hug. Go knock them dead out there. Have fun. All right, win HOH next time. No, it's sort of like a Carter, and it's like, all right, suck an egg. I'll see you later. So that that was sort of it. So what are you gonna do? So great goodbye. I will not criticize Penner for a lack of hugs, and we'll see. I'll ask Penner if I see him at the finale if he'll give me a bro hug and not tap me on the back, because that's bad. All right, so that's going to do it for Rob Has a Podcast. We are going to be back. Thank you guys for watching us live here on a Wednesday night, making us part of your Survivor ritual on Wednesday nights. We really appreciate it. I know how seriously you guys take the show. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. Only two more Wednesdays left of Survivor before we get to the finale. Really, really exciting. And the calendar is about to turn to December. And so as you guys are doing all of your holiday shopping, I truly appreciate it when you remember to go to robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. That takes you directly to the Amazon.com homepage. They've got all of the great specials going on, all of the Cyber Monday deals week and everything, all of the best holiday deals on all the electronics and the stuff people actually want, not a bunch of socks. Well, they do have socks, but not the bunch of crap that you're going to get at the last minute. Get people stuff they want. Go to robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, and you support Rob Has a Podcast in the process when you do it, and we really, really appreciate it. All right, I'm going to eat some dinner, go to bed, get up early, talk to Jonathan Penner, talk to Richard Hatch. It's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. Can't wait to do it. Thanks, you guys. Talk to you again soon. Bye. Thanks to the Fake Plastic Trees for recording the theme to Survivor Know-It-Alls. Hear more of their music at fakeplastictrees.nl.